Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our memorial meeting, and to those who may be streaming or listening by telephone. Since I last chaired, the world is really picking up its pace, with players on the world stage being manoeuvred. As we know, God dwells in the kingdoms of men. The headlines really haven't changed too much. If anything, there's been more provocation with Russia, Ukraine, NATO, the USA, all events that we would expect to see. A time of uncertainty and a trouble for many. But as common a community of believers, we know things are getting much closer to the return of our Lord Jesus. And by the grace of our Father in heaven, we're able to come here this morning and remember our Lord and Master represented before us by the bread and wine. Our brother Ben has asked this morning that our reading is taken from the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This reading is to base our thoughts around the theme, Mind of Christ. It's now the pleasure of our brother Ben to give us the word of exhortation.
Thanks, Brother Mark, and good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, young people and friends. So we come here each week for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is because we're commanded to. But we should actually be well beyond the command as to why we're here, and not be here out of obligation, but out of love. But that's probably a theme for another time. But why were we commanded to come week, the apostles instituted it week by week, this remembrance? I mean, Christ was crucified at the Passover, so why not remember every year? Well, I think one of the reasons that it's instituted as weekly is that we should be progressing and changing. So remembering Christ often and comparing ourselves to him as often as we do should be transformative. And there's a reason in God's purpose why we remember him in bread and wine. And I'm sure part of that is that we take it into ourselves each week and it becomes part of us. We derive a small amount of literal energy and calories from our remembrance each week, but spiritually it should become part of us and change us massively. And so remembrance in bread and wine is a metaphor for remembrance of Christ's sacrifice. Remembering Christ each time we come to partake and looking for ways to respond to what he's done for us and how we can be like him. That should change us bit by bit every week with every morsel of remembrance that we take. So another reason we come is to be changed, to be transformed, to be more like him, week by week, bit by bit, so that when he comes, we shall see him as he is, says John. And another, seeing him bit by bit every week as we've finally seen him in the completeness. And another reason we come week by week is to get the answers as to how we should live and be more like Christ in our lives. How to overcome the troubles facing us or maybe even overwhelming us. How are we going to get through another week? And so we come week by week. And we also come to be encouraged, don't we? So thinking about all these things about why we come so regularly, Paul, talking to the Corinthians in our readings for the following week, you know, he's going to deal with a lot of problems in their midst. But right at the outset, he says in the letter, we've got the answer to everything that's going on. So would you like the answer to everything going on in your life? Everything troubling you? Well, Paul says there in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ, as well as this whole chapter saying that we should become a spiritual person. He says the answer is the mind of Christ. And Paul demonstrates through the rest of the letter coming up in our readings how the mind of Christ deals with outright immorality in their midst. How the mind of Christ deals with issues of weak conscience and navigates clearly the way through the issues of conscience that were polarizing the ecclesia. How the mind of Christ is orderly and submissive when meeting for remembrance. How the mind of Christ is thoughtful and cares for others and not just selfishly stuffing themselves at the Lord's table, no less. How the mind of Christ doesn't seek to be visible or of notoriety through impressive appearing gifts. But Paul shows that the mind of Christ is visible through multifaceted love showing. True love in humble ways in every kind of circumstance. Being kind, being patient and forgiving, without scorekeeping and one-upmanship. You know where this passage is coming from. Not focusing on others' faults, but looking for the best in others. Building up and encouraging others and believing in others. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 we could spend time on as the recipe and foundation for a mind of Christ in our lives. What it looks like in practicality and how we grow one. Because that's really what 1 Corinthians 13 is. An explanation of what Paul says here when he says, we have the mind of Christ. And it's not just love in the abstract. It's God's love seen in Christ to practical effect. The practical effect is that he sacrificed his life for us. And we come to remember that. And so that his love can evoke a response in us and be seen in practical effect in our lives in turn. So thinking about all the issues in Corinth in overview, I mean, how's our week been? How have we been at keeping from immorality? Okay, so we may be free from literal immorality, but what about the virtual? How have we been at accounting for others' differences and respecting their conscience? How have we been at looking out for and tarrying for one another? And look, my saying these things is not about making you feel guilty, but showing that we face the same problems and issues as the Corinthians. So we should focus on the same solution, is my point here. So, you know, in chapter 12 of Corinthians, Paul explains the mind of Christ, that it's a body of believers who are many different members. We're all eyes and hands and feet and ears, says Paul. But there's one body. And it only exists as one body when we all unite under one head. So it's like out there in the past week, we've all been flailing appendages. But when we come here, it all makes sense. And we're a complete body in Christ, says Paul. And reiterating this idea in Ephesians 4, Paul says to them in verse 15, we should grow up into the head, which is Christ. So coming back to our challenges, have we been an active part of the body of Christ? Have we empathised with other members? And thinking of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians that we alluded to earlier, have we kept our mouth shut? Have we tried hard to be a better listener and encourager in love? Have we been long-suffering instead of frustrated and annoyed at others? Have we been a little bit better at being patient and kind? Have we foregone opportunities to make ourselves look good at others' expense? Have we, just a little bit, not been easily angered more than the week before? Have we made a deliberate effort to forget a wrong done to us? How have we helped others? And, or as we consider that, often maybe it's the case that we've failed and missed opportunities to help others. Now, I don't want you to beat yourself up over the failures, but we need to mark it, be aware of it, and use it as motivation in the week ahead. Because we're here today with a new week before us, a new remembrance, and new opportunities of service. So perhaps we can make some resolutions now and take the opportunity of meeting together to help others and empathise and seek to understand others. Now, look, it's not that we can do all these things at once. I'm not saying that this coming week you've got to be perfect in every one of these areas. So don't go away from here overwhelmed at being a failure in so many of these areas. But that's why we come week by week, to build upon and grow the mind of Christ and our response to others. Where we might have failed in a past week, we get a new opportunity in a new week. And with the things that we, you know, try to do it, in a mind of Christ-like way, naturally we pick the first few things that come easy to us. So, you know, if we're sociable, we might gravitate toward hospitality. If we've got a practical bent, we might start with service in the ecclesia and helping others. But we all have an obligation with self-control and bearing with others and looking for the best in each other. But there comes a time when we come week by week where we're challenged about the things that we're not naturally good at or naturally drawn to that we should be improving on. But as a part of developing a complete mind, we need to be an all-round Christ. We can't just be a specialist Jesus Christ in a certain, with, you know, skills in just one area. That's the one talent man in Matthew 25, isn't it? He's not developing neural networks and new pathways, new coordination and new skills. So, you know, if you're training your mind in an area of skill, it requires practice to develop those neural links so that it becomes easier and, dare I say, eventually effortless. Well, you know, we see it clearly in elite sports people, don't we? Where, yes, by and large, they start with a large pool of natural talent, but we can see in their career progression when it becomes truly flawless and effortless through practice. We're not asked to be flawless. We're granted flawlessness through God's grace. But we are expected to remember week by week. And we are expected to try to develop the mind of Christ. So take hospitality as an example. We might say, well, we're not good at talking to people. You know, that kind of excuse just reminds me of Mr. Darcy saying, I have not the talent which some possess of conversing easily with strangers. To which Miss Bennett replies, I do not play this piano so well as I should wish to, but I've always supposed that to be my own fault because I would not take the trouble of practicing. And we can imagine the one talent man having that mindset. He's not the social type, so leave that to others. In fact, he left everything to others. He wasn't going to put himself out for anyone. But the problem is, he had an undeveloped mind of Christ. We know that in how he mistakenly saw Christ as someone who gathered where he'd not sown. He didn't see Christ in others. He didn't realise that Christ had sown through his mind being in whoever was sowing in him. The one talent man had not regularly developed Christ's mind in himself, and so he could not comprehend the work of Christ, the work that Christ started being completed in others. And so instead of meeting regularly, he shrouded his life from others. He wrapped his talent up and hid it away in his life. The one talent man certainly did not meet regularly with others to reflect on Christ's life and death and Christ's mind and to grow and develop Christ's mind. In fact, we're told the opposite is true at the end of the chapter. So you're welcome to look at Matthew 25. I'm going to make a couple of comments there. So, you know, some people think that these talents represent natural gifts or abilities, but how do you go from having 5 abilities to 10? The answer is, it's all about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, as Paul says in Romans 12. And we come each week to be renewed in the mind of Christ, don't we? And so the answer to developing the oil of the wise virgins is the same thing. So, you know, if you have a look at verse 9, they had to go to the trading place. In the Greek, it's literally the busy place. See, you don't develop spiritual oil in your fortress of solitude or in your laboratory up in your garret. It's amongst people. It's being busy, where you learn to be patient and long-suffering and hospitable, and you grow to realise others are struggling and trying when you get to know them. And you realise that others have needs, and you start to prioritise them above your own. So the answer to developing oil or developing talents is one and the same. Because look at verse 34 of Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you were hospitable to me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the righteous, so remember, we're made flawless by God's grace, they're already righteous, will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king, who they now see as he is, says to them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it unto me." This is the work, the practical outworking of developing the mind of Christ. That's what this chapter 25 of Matthew is all about. The talents aren't about developing your gifts. That's what Corinth thought. They wanted the most excellent showy gifts because they thought that that's what it was all about. And Paul says, no, it's about developing the mind of Christ and showing Christ as love. That's the answer here. And the oil is not just God's word, which we know oil to be a symbol of. It's oil that's burning. It's God's word being put into action. Other people can see it and be encouraged by it and be warmed by it. And all these things that we've just read of in Matthew 25, that we read of those that were Christ's doing, our Lord, who we come to remember, did them. Talk about following his steps. Those that are called righteous here are called that because they've responded to others as Christ responded, and they've done as he did. He didn't just give water to the thirsty. He turned water into wine. And we're all about to share wine and remind ourselves how we should be responding to this. And Christ didn't just give the hungry bread, he fed thousands at a time and continues to give his body that we're about to share. He'd fed untold millions. So how is it that we struggle to show hospitality at times to just one other? Because we think we're too busy or we don't feel like it. What about clothing others? Christ not only clothed all of us at baptism, but at his death, he gave the clothes off his back to others who cast lots for them. They didn't really need them or appreciate them, but he gave them anyway. So, one more section of scripture to cement what we're thinking about this morning. That week by week we're developing new actions, new resolutions, new areas of service, like a growing mind, learning new skills and capabilities. Except this is not an intellectual exercise. Our remembrance of our Lord and our association together is a practical way of each of us developing, sharing and expressing the mind of Christ. So come, yes, Tarn, I'm going there, to Philippians chapter 2. She's been on the edge of her seat all morning. Here's Paul again, encouraging us with the importance of developing Christ's mind in us, but highlighting that it's a process we need to work on together. We need each other for this. Philippians 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. I mean, he's being facetious, really, isn't he? You know, if there's any encouragement, any comfort of love, any affection and sympathy in Christ, of course there is. There's an overwhelming abundance of these. Not a meagre one talent man amount. There's a multiplication of these from 5 to 10 talents. They grow. So Paul is saying, don't be like the one talent man and ignore the encouragement in Christ and the comfort of love and the participation and sympathy. You need to develop it, not take Christ for granted for what he does for you personally. That's small and miserable. That's small-minded thinking. We need to think big. We need to think on a scale of God and Christ. So what should we be doing when we come together and remember Christ and remember his love and his sympathy and his encouragement? So Paul's literally saying if there's any exhortation to be had in Christ, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. In other words, Paul's saying if the remembrance of Christ means anything, use it as an opportunity to regularly develop the mind of Christ in us, collectively, unitedly. And in case this is a bit esoteric, he goes for the practical jugular to show what he means. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That was the root trouble in Corinth, wasn't it? But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. So developing the mind of Christ is about seeing others' perspective, developing an appreciation for how God works with others, empathising with how others struggle, how others have difficulties, and learning to work with and show love toward others. Verse 5, have this mind in yourselves, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And so here is what we come to remind ourselves and have it change us in our remembrance this morning. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped at, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, God's own name, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and very soon those under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so this morning now we have an opportunity again. Another new week is ahead of us, so let us each think how we can respond to the service and humility and love of our Lord Jesus Christ toward us. And evaluate how we can take some more steps and do a little bit more in developing the mind of Christ in our actions to others. So let's not be down about past failures in this area. We can wipe the slate fresh and start anew from here and develop those first neurons and take action with the first synapses in place, demonstrating love toward others in that new development of pathways in our spiritual mind. We can produce some more oil here in this place of association with others, where we rub up against each other. And we can add another talent, another area of service to God in our life by activating a fuller mind of Christ. And so may we respond and go from our remembrance here with this encouragement from Paul in the week ahead, verse 12 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, week by week in your remembrance, so to speak, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And we're reminded of our ecclesial theme that it's his pleasure to give us his kingdom so that we can be inheritors with one mind And so Paul encourages verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world."